Good evening, everyone. Special welcome to any family or friends who are here this evening. We have, I'm not reaching for anything for you, I'm just reaching for my notes. We have a chance to read through, as it were, redemptive history from the time of the garden all the way to the heavenly glory of the new heavens and the new earth. We have a chance to reflect on the beauty of Christmas this season as we hear great texts and sing great tunes. I'm giving not only this welcome and intro, but also just a quick explanation. Some of you have been here for this in the past, but what we do is we read some of the classic texts all the way up to John 1, and then I'll give a small sermonette or homily, and then we'll light the candles when Deanna sings toward the end, and then we'll all close in song together, holding the candles, reflecting on Jesus, who is the light of the world. And the way this goes is we read these great texts. The men will introduce both the text, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to these texts, but then we'll also signal which carol or hymn that we'll be singing. And generally, it's just the first and the last of these great carols of the faith. They'll announce exactly which verses in particular, but that's the way it will go. We'll begin now as I ask you to turn to number 210 in the hymnal before you. Number 210, Silent Night, Holy Night, just verses 1 and 4 as we prepare ourselves this evening. Hear now, as our God calls us to worship. You may not know that the great hymn writer Isaac Watts, who wrote Joy to the World, which we'll sing at the very end tonight, is the very one who based that famous hymn and carol on this very psalm. Verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 98 says, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord in all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises." Praise the Lord. Let's take a moment and pray together. Our God, we are gracious that we have opportunity, life and breath and everything else. This is what your word says in Acts 17. By your common grace, you sustain us in ways that we never think about. How you've sustained our lives to this very day, that we are able to fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, the author, perfecter, and finisher of our faith, to worship you as Emmanuel, as God with us, and to beg that by your Spirit you would come and be glorified in our midst, that you would continue to illumine the eyes of our hearts so that we might better understand the story of salvation. Be glorified in our midst, as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, grab your hymnal and turn to the back. There we have a famous creed that we confess together that speaks very uniquely of Jesus Christ. Certain things that we confess as Christians that Christians have for many, many centuries. There, on page 846 of the hymnal, all the way in the back, is the Nicene Creed. This is one of the great creeds of the faith that speaks again so poignantly, so particularly about Jesus Christ and all that he did in his incarnation. If you would, let's stand together and confess our faith from the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do you believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's pray together again. Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to speak to you in this unique way. As we said even this morning, Jesus, when you were in the garden and you spoke to your Father in a time of distress and despair, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, you spoke so intimately to your Father in heaven. But you had just taught your own disciples in your own prayer to your Father in their midst that they would become one with you, that they would be united to you by grace through faith, that we would be in union with you, blessed with so many benefits of the salvation we would receive by your sacrificial death and by your glorious resurrection and ascension in the presence of your disciples. May we worship in so much of your ministry, even as we focus our attention on the foreshadows of your coming, of this unique celebration in this season of your incarnation, being Emmanuel and God with us. And so we are so grateful, Jesus, again, for the presence and power of your Spirit with your people. Would you do for us what we cannot do for ourselves? Would you bless us in abundance by your presence and power, enabling us to glorify and worship you even tonight, as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn to the very beginning of your Bible in the account in the garden in Genesis 3. It's page 3. If you need that help from the Pew Bible, this famous account ends with one of the most profound promises in all the Scriptures I mentioned even this morning. From the last verse we'll read in Genesis 3:15. This is God's word in the time of the garden. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool in the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God's word from Genesis 3. If you would, take your hymnal again and let's turn to 196. Number 196, come thou long expected Jesus, singing just verses 1 and 4 of number 196. Come thou long expected Jesus. Like to turn forward in your Bibles to Genesis 22. John will pick up to read from there.
Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And as it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Look in your hymn books to page 193. "Let all mortal flesh keep silent." Let's sing verses 1 and 4. Page 193. Passages, Isaiah chapter 19, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7.
And that's 729 in the Pew Bible, if you're following along in the Pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And now let's sing What Child Is This in 213. Number 213, What Child Is This, verses 1 through 3, or 1 and 3.
Next passage is Micah 5, 1 through 5a. That's page 989 in the Pew Bible if you need it. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. He shall be their peace. Our next song is number 201 in the hymnal, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll be singing verses 1 and 4, number 201.
Yet in thy
next passage is Luke 1, 26 through 55.
That's page 1088 in your Pew Bible, 1088. You're following along there. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 55. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, and the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord was, what it was spoken to her from the Lord." And now we will sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." That's number 203. And if you're able to, please stand while we sing this one. Next passage will be Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21.
Luke chapter 2 can be found on page 1090 in your Pew Bibles if you need that. Luke chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Turn in your hymn books to number 225, Once in David's Royal City. 225. We'll sing the first verse and the fifth verse. First and last. Passage of Scripture will be John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1.
Again, that's John 1, 1 through 18, 1127 in the Pew Bible if you need it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. This is 208. O come all ye faithful, let us stand together. We'll sing verses 1 through 4. 208, O come all ye faithful.
Any number of glorious texts could have been chosen. I actually made two messages. I'll only give one tonight. One that I could shorten in a way, having connected what we said this morning from Isaiah 8, I chose Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. No need to turn there, as you've just heard it. I'll just read it again to you by way of introduction. But as I do, I want you to think about this. A child was born. Twice we heard today, first in Isaiah 8, of a mother conceiving and bearing a child, and then again in Isaiah 9. A child, though, in Isaiah 9 called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Perhaps no words in all of human history have been more profound, more astounding, more confounding. But you know these words. I'm sure you've heard them many, many times. But does their profundity capture you every single time? Saints, we're talking about a child here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Perhaps no more stirring or encouraging words could be declared. We're speaking, of course, of the foreshadowed prophecy of the birth of the coming Messiah. In Greek, the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one, the long-awaited one, the one foreshadowed in Genesis 3:15 that we heard, the one foreshadowed in the picture of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22 in our readings tonight. But let's be honest. What? Have you really thought about this at length? A child is going to do all that? A child is going to be all that? I have kids, and I will never, you can have all your grandkids, you can cohere them all into one human. And I bet you would never expect such things from that child. There are children here this evening. Would any of them be qualified to fit any one of these titles, names, offices? Saints, if only for the singular fulfillment of this one prophecy about a child who would be all this, shut the book. It's settled. It must be God with us. If only this singular prophecy about one unique human child who was to come, it would be settled. And yet we know there are hundreds more. Have you thought about how profound it must be for this singular address in human history to be fulfilled? This one prophecy about this child that should be enough to ensure that this Messiah, this Christ, this anointed one, must be miraculous. Almighty God with us. Let yourselves meditate upon these truths as you hear it this week. As you think about it, any number of days before Christmas comes, allow yourself to stop dead in your tracks and reflect and be amazed. Truly meditate upon these truths. I'm afraid that we can all become so familiar. That application at the outset is to say we all become so dull, dare I say. We become so familiar with these prophetic poems, these prophetic foreshadows, because you hear it every single Christmas season. And yet we may miss the core message of its words. Isaiah, the major prophet that we began with this morning and we're continuing in his prophecy in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, is saying more than that the Messiah who was to come would be wonderful in a variety of ways. Isaiah is actually proclaiming with the Lord's hand upon him, preaching to us a truth that is way more profound and can be way more faith-fortifying, faith-stimulating, life-altering. Life can change for a human soul tonight to reflect upon this deeply. It can be hope-giving for the first time. It can be future-orienting, completely life-altering, by simple meditation upon this truth and these truths together. So we're taking a moment right now to carefully examine and reflect on the names that Isaiah attaches to this messianic child. This child that was to be born and all the things that are said about him with words carefully chosen because they were carefully directed by the Holy Spirit, the hand of the Lord that was upon Isaiah. The prophet is telling us that the Messiah son, with a hyphen, the Messiah son, is actually what every sinner desperately needs. This one to come, it was the ultimate answer to every destructive thing that sin does to the human condition. Isaiah, with beautifully poetic words, declares to us that Jesus is all sinners need. He is the solution to the sin that we cannot avoid or escape. And long before we were born, God had appointed for us the one, capital O, the one who would be the remedy for every symptom of the sin that would infect us all. Consider how profound I'm even placing all this fulfillment in this one, what this one is capable to do. The government would rest on his shoulders. Is that something you're beholding in our day? The government on the shoulders of a child? You've considered perhaps dynasties and history. But I think what this was also foreshadowing by the power of the Lord was good governance and rule. What do sinners need? We need to be freed and freed from ourselves. We need to be well ruled. And we can't do this for ourselves. We need to be freed from the bondage of self-rule and welcomed into the rule of the one who is the definition of everything that is good and right and just and fair and true and loving. Jesus came to liberate us from the kingdom of darkness and transport us to his kingdom of light, as you know. The kingdom of the Son that he loves. This spoke of the Father loving the Son and then welcoming us into this one's kingdom. A kingdom of love and light. Is that something that rules and reigns in your heart? A kingdom rule of love and light? Because the Holy Spirit of God is at work within you? It's essential because our self-rule is often self-rule run riot. Self-will run riot. It's sometimes our ultimate undoing, and it can be doom for one made in the image of God who doesn't know how to put off their old person and put on the new, to mortify certain sins of the flesh and to vivify, that is, to bring to life all that God gives us by his enabling presence and power. And so there is one who is called Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor. Sin reduces all of us, and I'm going to be descriptive here. This isn't name-calling. The Bible calls humans fools. Did you know that? And it calls us fools because we are foolish. And what that means in some simple ways is just ignorant. We just don't know better. I'll bet you could look at the news any given hour of any given day and find foolishness. But how do you respond to it when you find it in your own heart? Because this is mostly for people who believe that are here. In our foolishness, remember, not name-calling, just descriptive, in our own foolishness, have you called yourselves, as we say to our own children, silly? In our own foolishness, we see the world sometimes inside out, or we see the world upside down, and we don't know what to do. We look at what is false, and we see what is true. We look at what is foolish and we somehow see wisdom. We get confused. It's upside down in this world. But the wonderful counselor, as you know, is this child. But this child then promised, when he came in his life and ministry, he promised another counselor and comforter who was to come, who would bring to mind everything that he had taught. And that's the one available to you. Tonight, all this season, the rest of this year, and into the new year, a wonderful counselor and comforter by the presence of his power and spirit. This one was also called the Mighty God. This is the God who gives us power. Sin doesn't just reduce us to silliness or foolishness. It sometimes renders us incapable to do good. And so we cry out with the Apostle Paul, that which I long to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I keep doing. Help, O Lord. Who will save us? Praise the Lord. Jesus came to do by his divine power what we could not do for ourselves. Praise the Lord that child who was to come is Emmanuel. And it's God with us, God for us. Sin causes us, as I said, to be unable to be what God designed us to be and to do what God created us to do. So Jesus would unleash a certain power in his people. We've seen it as we've studied Acts. The Spirit continues to come. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, and it'll be again in Acts 19. As the Spirit's work is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, empowering us to do what we would not be able to do without his Spirit's presence in, with, and upon us. Power working in and through us for his glory by faith. We then go out as the people of God, carrying that light of the world, as I'll say at the end of this service. And what's more, as we heard in one of our passages, no longer separated, lost, alienated, and alone, we who were orphaned are actually called to be children of light, called to live forever as the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Did you hear it in the John reading just a moment ago? He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, were given the right to become children of God. And I hope, Lord willing, to connect it to our message next week in that way. Jesus' reign would be righteous in every way. In a sin-broken and fallen world where all our lives are touched by the corruption and injustice of those who rule us, it's a sweet comfort to know that the one who would be in us, with us, and upon us would establish his rule over us and in us in righteousness all the time and in every way possible. It's sweet to know that all corruption and injustice will end one day, someday. And Jesus will rule and reign in perfect righteousness forever. That's what all Christians are longing for, a new heaven and a new earth. This is Christian hope. That means, to be direct, Jesus' rule will never, ever end as he comes to rule and reign in righteousness forever. That's the end of the good governance. There's a foreshadowed picture there. His grace will never grow weary. His grace will never run out. This means that hope now and hope then would no longer rest on our wisdom, or our strength, or our self-rule, or our performance, or our track record, but on the Lord Jesus' unstoppable rule of grace in and through us. What a blessing for us. In closing, the Lord God would make sure that what he promised would happen. Did you hear that language of the zeal of the Lord? Just this morning I mentioned that name, the Lord of hosts. Do you know how to translate that? The Lord of heaven's armies, or the Lord of the angels' armies, Yahweh Tzevaot, is a very unique name that we heard both in Isaiah 8 and again in Isaiah 9. Why can we bank on Isaiah's promises? So long ago, as we said this morning, 2,700 years ago, why do these promises have meaning for us today? We can trust these things because the Lord God has placed his own zeal upon them. He has vowed and covenanted that he will do it. And when the Lord promises, it will be fulfilled. Take heart. That's for you to hold dear to your heart tonight. What does it mean for us? It means that he will unleash, as it were, his almighty power and authority to guarantee that all that was promised in, listen, the birth of that child who was to come. It was the Lord of hosts who was in that child, as it were. It's the Lord of hosts who is that child. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. Three persons in one God. That's why all those glorious names and titles can be spoken, yes, of a little baby. And that's why it's so beautiful to think about that again this season. All that was promised in the birth and the coming of Jesus are the promises of the coming King, the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the coming Anointed One. Label and name him any way you want, but know that the attributes and his works and glory are what we worship him for. That's why we're unique in this world, because we worship Jesus. There is nowhere you and I can look to find better news than this. There's nowhere we look around in our lives that we can find better promises if we will take the time to reflect upon them, ponder them, consider them, meditate upon them, as we say. So much more than, dare I say, decorations or gifts or lots and lots and lots of cookies and cake and pie. I forgot to invite you to the fellowship and refreshments afterward. Let's eat together. More than all that are the incredible promises of this season, hope and salvation for sinners. May these truths never grow old in your heart, saints. Hope and salvation in the one who is the Redeemer, the Savior, and yes, in John 15:15, famously even calls himself our friends. Jesus. All the promises of God, as Paul preaches to the church in 2 Corinthians 1. We'll read, Lord willing, in January, the book of 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, you may know, famously it says, that all the promises of God that were carried into the world on the shoulders of that child, on the shoulders of Jesus, all of God's promises are yes and amen. In him. Let's give him thanks now. That child, that what makes that child, Jesus the Christ, so special. Let's pray together. Jesus, we know that these great truths are deep and long and high and wide and profound, and sometimes we have failed to reflect upon them deeply enough. May you help them to linger with us, and each time we hear Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 this season, we will rejoice in the coming of the Prince of Peace, our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God. Bless us, O Lord, as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll gather together and we will light the candles here, and then we'll come down and light each of your candles, and Deanna will sing for us as we do.
Shining, it is the night of
Our final hymn and carol is number 195, Joy to the World. Let's stand, if you're able to hold, and stand together and sing. You might know it well by heart. Verses 1 and 4, 195, Joy to the World. Pray for us, grant us a benediction, but a reminder that we'll just gather together for some fellowship and friendship tonight. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, the true joy that we are given by the presence and power of your Spirit is said to be one of the fruits of you in, with, and upon us as your people, as I've said. Foreshadowed so beautifully in so many prophecies, but particularly in the ones that direct us to this one who became Emmanuel. Thank you, Jesus, that we know that you are with us. You are with your people at all times by the presence and power of your Spirit. Would you help us to fix our eyes all the more upon you, Jesus, receiving these promises afresh, hearing them each day this season? Would you help us to worship you in each of those moments? Would you be glorified in all we do as we sing joy to the world? In the name of Jesus, amen. Receive now the blessing of God upon your heads and hearts from 2 Corinthians 13. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's people say together.